A Family Man's Tale by Tranquil Tavine. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of J.K. Rowling. Chapter 1. How They Met. Vernon truly loved Petunia. However, she made her hatred of the Potters clear, a family he had no issues with, and sometimes her vitriol was tiring for him. But she forgot any lingering bitterness for a few short months when his pride and joy, Dudley, arrived. Then along came that fateful night, one which tore a family apart, but brought a welcome addition to the family he already loved. Shooting faster out of bed than ever before, Vernon rushed down the stairs, huffing and puffing with effort and skidding to the front door.
"Petunia!"
Vernon shouted, his reddened face paling with the possibilities that rushed through his mind. Shakily, she took a step back, one bony, wavering finger pointing at a cloth bundle on their doorstep.
"It's him!"
"Who?" he questioned, finally noticing the source of her fear beside their bottle of delivered milk.
"Potter!"
Petunia spat, looking at the bundle with disgust.
"I haven't seen their spawn in months, but I'd recognize him anywhere."
"Harry, but what was he doing here?" Noticing a letter tucked into the bundle, Vernon took it, handing it over to Petunia.
"He can't be here without good reason. See what that letter says."
Gingerly accepting it and scanning the contents, he turned back to the matter at hand, bending over and carefully picking up the swaddled child, holding him in the same learned position as with his son. Somehow Harry hadn't woken up from Petunia's scream, but what did gently jostle him was the warmth of human comfort. Looking down into his nephew's face, he realized that, shamefully, this was the first time that he'd properly met him. With a shock of jet-black hair sticking up in every direction, Vernon ignored his instinct to smooth it flat. But once Harry opened his eyes, everything else seemed to fade. Thrown back to his son's birth, Vernon had never seen such a vivid green. They were like lilies, but brighter, innocent. For a moment, Vernon forgot everything he'd heard Petunia say. His heart beating anew, it swelled with affection for the baby nestled in his arms. They'd only just met, yet the desire to protect Harry from harm rose within him.
"They're dead."
With Petunia's emotionless utterance, Vernon was quickly pulled from the trance he'd fallen into.
"Lily and James?"
he asked for clarification, despite knowing the answer in his heart.
"Yes,"
she replied, her eyes glinting coolly.
"Dumbledore dumped him on our doorstep, asking us to raise Potter. The nerve! If I knew how to contact him without magic," she sneered, "I would. But I'm not having it. I'll ring the orphanages and one of them can have him."
Why on earth would the old fool leave a child outside? Anything could have happened, not to mention how cold it was. Then Petunia's words sank in, and thoughtlessly he protested,
"But Petunia, dear, wouldn't it be better to look after him ourselves?"
"Vernon!"
Petunia screeched, quietening some with her husband's hasty hand gesture.
"I know you don't want him, but what if Dumbledore and his magical friends visit? If they found out we gave him away, they might curse us."
Petunia blanched.
"Yes, I'll bet they would. Especially that disgusting Snape. The protection."
Silently mulling over this information, she handed the letter to Vernon.
"Very well, we'll keep him. Dispose of this."
As she hurried back inside with the milk, Vernon stood there for a moment. It was now, more than ever, that he realized just how deep his wife's hatred ran. Scanning the letter's contents, Vernon vowed to do right by Lily and James as best he could. Surely after spending time with Harry, Petunia would warm to him. Regardless, he promised to himself he'd treat his nephew no different from Dudley. Unfortunately, Petunia didn't warm to Harry, doing the bare minimum to care for him and lavishing every ounce of love and affection upon Dudley. She left it to Vernon, where he could, to provide what she refused to. Harry often pitched in with the housework and, to Vernon's pride and her displeasure, was above average in development. While Petunia didn't want to tell him about the Wizarding World, Vernon convinced her it was for the best and, by the age of 11, shared what little he knew. Relaxing at home, Vernon reclined into the armchair. While enjoying work, it was moments like this he savored. Picking up the remote, he channel-surfed until Harry entered the living room. Standing in front of him with expectant, wide green eyes hidden behind smart frames, he held a letter out.
"Uncle Vernon, will you check this for me?"
Of course.
Placing the remote down, Vernon put his reading glasses on and scanned the letter.
Professor McGonagall, thank you for your kind invitation to attend Hogwarts. However, I must respectfully decline. I plan to study at a non-magical school, but I'm sure we'll meet one day, as I want to see the world that my parents once lived in. Yours sincerely, Harry Potter.
Vernon nodded approvingly, handing the letter back.
Excellent work. Remember, first impressions are everything.
Blushing with pride, he nodded seriously.
Yes, Uncle Vernon, I remember that.
As Harry left the living room to seal his letter and find the postal owl awaiting a reply, Vernon sighed in relief. He didn't like the idea of him attending a school run by the same man who thought leaving babies on doorsteps was a good idea. While he wouldn't have stopped his nephew from attending if that's what he truly wanted, they'd already discussed it in depth earlier, and he seemed happy to join Smeltings with Dudley. After that, they didn't dwell on the letter, content in getting on with their lives. Until days later, when something odd happened. Opening up a carton of eggs, Vernon blinked when seeing a rolled-up bit of parchment somehow wedged into there. Unrolling it and reading the envelope, he frowned when seeing another Hogwarts invitation letter.
"His reply must be delayed," Vernon thought, throwing the letter away but wondering how on earth it got there.
However, it didn't stop. Over the next few days, they found several identical letters in the post, the bathroom, the living room, their means of delivery mostly unexplained. But it was when hundreds of letters flew through their fireplace in a rain of parchment that he had enough.
"That's it," he snapped, his face turning puce-colored. "We'll go far away where they can't find us."
Studying the parchment-filled room, Harry frowned worriedly.
"How long do you think that will take?"
"I don't know," Vernon admitted, calming down after seeing the look on his nephew's face. "But magic or not, they won't have the upper hand. Pack the essentials, we'll leave now."
While Petunia remained tight-lipped and Harry did as asked, Vernon explains to Dudley why his TV wasn't classed as essential. After advising him on what was, he had a purchase in mind. It was clear these wizarding folk were the persistent sort, and as he didn't have any magic to fight back with, other means were necessary. On July 30th, 1155, Harry finished drawing a birthday cake into the dust-laden ground. Nothing had gone as any of them expected, certainly having to leave Privet Drive for a dilapidated hut in the sea's middle. While his life wasn't perfect, in that world Aunt Petunia would love him, he still had Uncle Vernon and Dudley when away from her influence. As the clock struck midnight, Harry was about to blow out his makeshift candles when a familiar voice disrupted him.
"Happy birthday, Harry!"
Looking up and squinting through the dim lighting, Vernon lit a candle which illuminated their immediate area. In his hand was a wrapped present.
"You remembered?" Harry asked him in amazement, blinking.
A rare smile crossed Vernon's expression.
"Of course I did, you're my favorite nephew."
"I'm your only nephew," Harry pointed out, rolling his eyes. "I just thought, with how weird everything's been lately, that you'd have forgotten." Lowering his eyes guiltily, Vernon slowly joined him on the floor.
"I remembered your present, but I forgot the cake. How about a late birthday celebration after we leave here?"
Nodding his head happily, Harry carefully unwrapped the present. Inside was a golden watch with hints of black on its face. Admiring how it shone in the faint candlelight, he looked at Vernon with gratitude.
"Thanks, it's brilliant."
"That, Harry, is a Grand Seiko watch. It's one of the finest ever made and a mark of good taste and adulthood. You're growing into a fine young man, one that I'm proud to call my nephew."
While his uncle was never one for overly affectionate words, it only made occasions like this more special. Once secured onto his wrist, he found its slight weight a comforting addition. Reaching over, Harry hugged him briefly.
"I'll treasure it."
Patting him on the back, they withdrew from one another as he watched his nephew blow out the makeshift candles. The moment that happened, there was an almighty crash, not thunderstorm-related. As the hut door was blown off its hinges, Vernon staggered up and rushed to his most recent purchase, his heart beating rapidly.
"Vernon, what's happening?"
Petunia cried, appearing and holding on to a scared Dudley.
"I don't know. Everyone stand behind me,"
Vernon ordered, loading his double-barreled shotgun purposefully. Framed in the doorway was a silhouette of the largest man Vernon had ever seen. As he stooped down considerably to let himself in, his gasp was lost among Petunia's shrieks and Dudley's whimpering. He had to be 7, no, 8 feet tall. So shocked was Vernon, he nearly dropped his shotgun, flabbergasted throughout the door being put right and the intruder's facial features growing clearer. Possessing a shaggy black beard and dark twinkling eyes, he looked at them remorsefully.
"Sorry about that."
As if the voice shook Vernon from his stupor, he aimed his shotgun at them.
"Who are you, and what do you want?"
"Easy there, Dursley. I didn't mean any harm."
He held his hands up.
"I'm Hagrid. I just came to give Harry his Hogwarts letter."
Harry cocked his head quizzically. "But I've already had a letter. I sent my rejection reply the same day." Suddenly, Vernon found the tip of a pink umbrella aimed at him.
"Why'd you make him write that, eh? Harry not going to Hogwarts? Impossible!"
Vernon bristled with righteous indignation.
"How dare you! I would never do that! One more word and I won't be responsible for my actions!"
Feeling the tensions rise, Harry hastily butted in.
"He's telling the truth! We talked about it and I decided not to!"
After hearing that, Hagrid visibly deflated while lowering his pink umbrella. Cautiously, Vernon did the same with his shotgun. Silently, he watched as Hagrid removed a squashed package from his coat, presenting it to Harry as a birthday cake, who, surprised but happily, divided it into 5 slices. Because of the late hour, Dudley and Petunia went back to sleep, and after ensuring he'd be fine, Vernon joined them. The next morning, they were awoken by Hagrid cooking breakfast in a pan that they swore was never there previously, and while eating, he made a proposal.
"Harry, why don't you give Hogwarts a trial run? Magic ain't easy to control without learning how."
Harry thoughtfully mulled his words over.
"I guess you're right, but in the end, if I decide not to go, could I be homeschooled?"
Hagrid nodded.
"I don't see why not."
"What do you think, Uncle?"
Truthfully, Vernon would rather he be away from all that magical business, but then he hadn't considered what it would do to Harry if he left his magic untrained. Withholding a sigh, Vernon studied him seriously.
"The decision is yours, and regardless, I'll support you. Well, I prefer the world we know. I suppose there is an intrigue of the unknown."
"No!"
Petunia shrieked, making everyone jump.
"Go to that freakish place and learn more magic from that old fool! Absolutely not!"
Having learned that Hagrid kept the broken parts of his wand hidden in the pink umbrella, Vernon hastily interjected while eyeing Hagrid's large, twitching hands.
"But if he doesn't, we can't guarantee there won't be a repeat incident of what happened with Dudley. Or worse," he added, feeling a little guilty for using his son in this manner.
"Dad,"
Dudley protested, promptly cut off when Petunia squeezed the life out of him.
"Not my precious Diddykins! Fine. However, I want nothing to do with any of it, do you understand?"
She glared at Harry.
"Yes, Aunt Petunia,"
Harry replied as his eyes glimmered sadly.
"Right," Hagrid clapped his hands. "We best be off, then. And let me get your school things from Diagon Alley."
Before they left, Vernon asked Harry to wait outside, and, unconcerned with their height difference, pointed a pudgy finger at Hagrid.
"I'm trusting you to look after him. If so much as a hair is harmed to that boy's head, I'll shove your umbrella where the sun never shines. Don't worry, Dursley, I'll look after him."
Once satisfied, Vernon let them go. It was time they all headed home as well, away from this sea-worn hut. On September 1st, once given the appropriate ticket, Vernon drove Harry to King's Cross Station. Before Hagrid left, he got every ounce of information from him so they weren't floundering on the day. Standing between platforms 9 and 10 with Harry, Vernon narrowed his eyes.
"They don't look any different, but I believe he's telling the truth. We have time. Let's see if anyone else needs to go this way."
"What about that family?"
Harry pointed to a cluster of redheads.
"They have an owl too."
Reminded of Hedwig, the newest addition to his family, it was the last thing Vernon expected him to return with. However, he didn't mind too much, as she was certainly fascinating. Before all this, he'd never seen one so close.
"Yes, I'm sure they'll be able to help us."
Approaching the redheaded woman, he politely cleared his throat.
"Excuse me, madam, but could you confirm how we enter platform 9 3/4?
As he caught her attention, she smiled warmly.
"Of course. You just run straight at the wall. Fred, would you show them?"
"He's not Fred, I am,"
another identical boy protested.
"Honestly, you call yourself a mother?"
Silently watching their exchange, Harry grinned and, after the demonstration, joined Fred, who was shortly and hesitantly followed by Vernon. Harmlessly passing through and met with the Hogwarts Express, he was unsure if the novelty of this other world would ever wear off. Proving to be equally busy on this platform, more witches and wizards, returning and new students, were saying goodbye to their parents or guardians. It was time for Vernon to do the same. resting his hands on Harry's shoulders, blue eyes locked with green, like so many years ago.
If you have any problems, tell me. I might not have magic, but I'm willing to bet I know things this lot don't. I want to hear all about what this Hogwarts place is like.
Harry nodded seriously.
I will, I promise.
As the Hogwarts Express blew its last whistle, Harry glanced toward it, then back at Vernon.
I have to go now, but I'll see you soon.
Knowing as much already, he released his nephew's shoulders. Stepping onto the train with everyone else, he found a compartment overlooking the platform, and as it pulled away, Vernon waved to Harry long after it faded into the distance. He'd never had him or Dudley away from home for so long, and already a pang of loss expanded within his chest.
I know how you feel. Every year I've seen my children over this platform, and every year I miss their presence just as much.
Turning to the red-headed woman he'd briefly spoken with, Vernon managed a sad smile.
And I'm sure every year I'll feel the same as well.
She reached out to give him a friendly shoulder squeeze. Her warmth traveled up his arm, soothing his heart somewhat.
I'm Molly Weasley.
Vernon Dursley. It's good to meet you.
After shaking hands and being introduced to her husband, Vernon had the feeling that this family would become more than just acquaintances. End of chapter 1.
For the text of this and other stories by the same author, visit archiveofourown.com/users/tranquil_Tavine. First pass editing by Ohana. Music by Vincent Lopez and his Hotel Pennsylvania Orchestra, circa 1925, now in the public domain. If you would like to commission me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch using the contact information on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as links to my Patreon page, to which I hope you consider subscribing to support me, and my Discord server, where I record things live for your enjoyment. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.